Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And you also have a question about Lions fans.
Yeah. Look, the last time I was on these airwaves was post-game after the debacle at Ford Field. And obviously very sad, you know, the emotions, like everybody, you know, angry, disappointed, people playing the blame game and all that stuff. So as we go into our second straight weekend without Lion football, granted there wasn't going to be a Lions game this week anyway, win or lose, I just wanted to know where people are. Have you gotten over it yet? And if not, what irks you the most? And what's the sign? For me, you know, being also an Eagle fan, although the Lions are my new first love, I'm cheating. My friends and family say you're cheating on the Eagles.
You're an adulterer.
Whatever. I've been here a little longer too. But watching the Eagles game, even the Rams game 2 weeks ago, and the NFC Championship game, I sat there. I'm not going to sit there. I was hoping that they would win, but I was like, you know, I was just like emotionless. You know, Barkley had the big run early. And then it's like anything else is like, whatever. I was just like sitting there because I was still sad and upset that the Lions were not in that game. Now, if I want to be honest about it, if the Lions did get past Washington and still suffered the Amik Robertson injury, I still think Philly would have won the game and it would have been here at Ford Field. And people might have felt worse losing the NFC Championship game at home. But we missed the buildup to the game, which would have been, that week would have been unbelievable. So, and I come to grips with it myself. It's like after they advance to the Super Bowl, the Eagles, it's like my sister, like I finally called her or whatever. She goes, "What happened? I haven't heard from you all day." I said, "Well, you know, it's just whatever. I was watching. I was glad they won, but that was about it. And then I watched the Buffalo Kansas City game, obviously."
Yeah.
So I'm you know, obviously going to root for the Eagles, but I go back to that game and back in, you know, 20 years ago when Robert Horry hit the shot game 5 where Rashid double teamed and left them open. That play still bothers me. I've talked about it on the air. Like, even years, decades later, you know, I'm in the shower and I think about that play. The 3rd and 1, empty backfield.
Yep.
I still think about that play because it violates, even though the Lions have been successful with it, one of my tenets of football is when you do not have a mobile quarterback, it's not to knock Jared Goff, you never go empty on short yardage. And I know the Lions have been successful because it tells the defense they're going to pass the ball.
Tips the hand.
Okay? So I don't like that. And look, I got to admit, last year, I went through a stretch of months, almost a year maybe, where I would see Josh Reynolds just drop a ball because I'm convinced that's what cost them the Super Bowl, not to mention the Gibbs fumble and the Vildor play and all that. But I just wonder where you guys are at. Are you looking forward to the Super Bowl? Are you even going to watch? Because I can't imagine people not watching the Super Bowl because the Lions aren't in it. The Lions haven't been in it ever.
Yeah, this will be 59 Super Bowls, and all 59, the Lions haven't been there. Yeah. And I know it's more real now because they've been so much closer. When people tell me they're not watching, I think it's performative. I think it's for attention.
It's like they, Lions free.
Same kind of thing. Like I saw Portnoy come out and go, he was all upset about the Bills Chiefs. I'm never watching football again. All right, Dave, we'll see you Super Bowl Sunday.
Right.
Like, it's kind of how I feel about a lot of Lions fans. I'm not saying you're going to watch the Super Bowl feeling okay. Like, Stoney, I still feel empty.
Yes!
And numb in some ways. When I left Ford Field that Saturday night, it was a hush. Everybody's in the streets walking back to their garage or their lot, wherever they parked, and no one wanted to say anything. Everybody's just kind of shell-shocked, empty. This empty feeling, these weekends, because the Lions would fill our cup up.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they won 15 to 17 games in regular season. We were so used to, they'll find a way, they'll get it done, even with the injuries on defense, thought they'd find a way they'd get it done, and they should have. Now, maybe to your point, and more likely than not, they lose to Philly. Mm-hmm. My point is play the game, because Washington shouldn't have won. Maybe you're there and you get a bounce or two, and you kind of steal a spot in the Super Bowl with a battered defense, the way they had stolen so many games along the way. No, I feel empty. I feel numb would be how I would describe
it. Right. Are you looking forward to next Sunday?
No, I'm not looking forward to it.
Okay.
I'm going to watch it. I'm not going to play pretend.
Right.
Like I won't watch the Super Bowl.
So this will be is this Super Bowl the least excited or whatever, lack of a better word,
so here's
anticipation
the thing
you have for a Super Bowl?
Here's the thing. It's actually a good game. These two teams played 2 years ago.
It was a great game.
I know people are mad at Bradbury in the call, but it was legitimately a penalty. And it came down to the final possession. These are two of the best teams in the sport,
mm-hmm,
with two really good quarterbacks and really good defensive coordinators and good defenses. It should be a good football game.
Yeah.
If you don't watch, you would have missed last year in overtime. You would have missed the AFC Championship this year, which came down to Josh Allen with the ball and 3 minutes to go. I'm not gonna let the Commanders win twice.
No.
Right? I'm not gonna let them steal football from me. I'm not gonna let the Lions losing steal football from me. This is the last game we get until August, so I think it's a good time to do a wellness check with people, with you in, because you heard the rawest emotions on that Saturday night. I mean, what people were almost to the point of
crying. People were crying.
Yeah.
I mean, I welled up a little bit. It's just sad because the anticipation, this town was at a fever that they hadn't been before in professional football. And maybe we were being unrealistic and saying, well, we could, you know, even with the defense, we can, you know, rebound.
Yeah.
And finally, they couldn't. And the quarterback and Goff had a bad day. It's that simple.
Yeah, I think John always says bad day to have a bad day.
Yeah.
And he's not the only one that's ever said that.
No.
But he's right. Goff had a great season. Goff orchestrated the number one offense. Jared Goff should be the quarterback next season. Not that they have a choice anyway.
Right.
But he played terrible. And I've seen people say it was the defense. Like, they'll still point to that Saturday night was on the defense. I think the defense would have doomed them maybe against Philly, but against the Commanders, the formula was there. I go back to your play, the first of the cascading plays in that football game, mm-hmm, the third and one from empty. If you feed Gibbs, I feel like they're scoring on that drive. They're going up 14-3, just like Philly did against the Commanders.
Even if
they don't, they go up 10-3.
Right. Or even if, because Montgomery was split, whatever.
Yeah.
Even if you give the ball to him, he gets at least a yard.
And to your point, not having the threat of a run really does put you. And again, if St. Brown doesn't slip, a lot of things on that play had to go wrong.
Right.
But it set off a chain reaction. That's the first turnover. Wouldn't be the last.
No.
Goff's pick six, the next catastrophic play in the game, right? His pick before the half where they take 3 points off the board. Could have been 7 if he leads them a little more.
Right.
you're leaving points on the table. And even with this defense, they could have and should have won that game, well, if they don't commit that level of turnover.
And we all said the formula, and Dan Campbell even said the formula basically was, you know, we're going to have to win shootouts.
Yep. So
they got into a shootout and lost it because some of their bullets came up blank, meaning Goff.
And I think people have deflected to blaming the defense. Not that the defense was good or healthy, but I think it's a deflection not to, to really let Goff shoulder it.
Right.
Because Goff deserved the biggest amount of blame to me for that game. You want to blame the coaches? People are upset about Ben Johnson. I'm mad that Dan Campbell didn't call the timeout on fourth down with 12 guys on the field.
Ridiculous.
I mean, there's plenty to go around, but I think Goff's the guy who, no sugarcoating it, no kid gloves. I know we chant his name. I know he's beloved. No one's throwing him out of the city yet, but or at all, but he screwed up. And we can blame the defense if you'd like, but if he plays the way he had played all year, if he played the way that he did to earn those chances and the MVP to consider
it, probably would have won.
They win the game and then they move on.
Yeah.
And instead we're left wondering what if. And that is maybe the lasting legacy out of a 15-win season. It's what if. What if they got to the Eagles game? Yeah, they might lose, but what if?
Right.
248-539-9797. We got Stoney in today, and it's it's a day where we're reflecting a little bit. A wellness check on Lions fans. State of the fan base. This is the second straight weekend where they're not playing.
Yes.
Feel, empty, numb, and some of the words we used, sad, angry, mad. Are there plays you still replay? Stoney's talked about that. You brought up the Super Bowl looming and any feelings you may have towards it.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, I would feel differently if the Eagles weren't playing, but I still don't understand the not watching the Super Bowl for a few reasons. Number one, if you do hate the Chiefs, don't you want to hate watch them?
Yeah, but people hate the Eagles too, is what people have said. I hate both teams.
Okay, you hate the Eagles fan base. Do you really hate the Eagles players? Is Saquon Barkley hateable? Is Jalen Hurts hateable? Devontae Smith. If you didn't like Jason Kelce, he's not on the team anymore.
Right, and A.J. Brown, he's well-read.
That's a good point. Sirianni has douche-like qualities, absolutely, but he's a pretty good coach. I mean, I don't see that. You could hate some of the despicable fans, not all of them. But yes, I understand that part of it. And the other part of the reason to watch is, don't you like, I love history.
Yeah.
And I love dynasties because dynasties create villains out of the dynasty.
Yeah, the Patriots, we went through it.
Yeah.
I mean, even in other sports, Yankees, Evil Empire, Lakers. Yeah.
I'm sure you'll talk about it more next week.
But yeah, but it's good to have you in. Good to get that conversation going. Jack and Novi, you're up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. You know, I'm in this. I'm probably not going to watch, or at least not go out of my way to watch. And I bring it back. I compare it to the Tigers. When they went 20 straight years without even touching the World Series, and then all of a sudden they made it in 2006. They had a good run. And I remember that 2013, the David Ortiz Grand Slam year. And then the World Series was the Red Sox versus the Cardinals, and I'm like, I can't do it. I can't, like, I was so emotionally invested for so long where I'm like, I just don't have it in me anymore.
I get it. Because that was, Leland said that was his best team.
Yeah. I thought it was too.
Yeah. And you sit there and you live in the what ifs, like the whole World Series. Like, man, like our entire pitching staff is better than anybody on either of these rosters. And I feel the same way. I'm not saying that the Lions are better than either of the rosters in the Super Bowl. Those are two great teams. But it's like, man, how much emotional investment can you really give to football for all these weeks, and then your team just like fails on you and like deflated?
Here, I'll make you feel worse, because the practice windows have been open on Brandon Graham. Would you be really pissed off if he plays, because you know that Hutch was supposed to play in the Super Bowl too?
You're a bad person, Stoney. Yeah, why would you say that? Why would you bring that up?
Another dagger.
Mm-hmm. This guy. Jack, appreciate the phone call. Let's get back to the phone. Sarah in Downriver. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Well, I was listening before the commercial break, and you guys were talking about the Super Bowl and then Jared Goff, and I wanted to comment on that. And yeah, he made some crucial mistakes during that game, but that was an all-out team effort.
Yes.
And they all, from the coaching staff all the way down.
Right.
Like, I've been a Lions fan for as long as I can remember, and I have watched every season defeated. And watching them get defeated this time, it sucked. But in my mind, I thought, SOL. I mean, here we go again.
Oh, no. You can't do that.
You know, it's defeating. It's defeating for a fan base to go through
that. Yes, it definitely is, but it's not those three letters, no.
The same old Lions don't end up in that spot, you know?
I hope not either, but, you know, I feel like Ben Johnson and Glenn kind of both gave up on us. They had opportunities already unfolded for him to move on. Why would they care how the Lions finish out their season?
Oh, come on.
I think that's a little ridiculous.
That's weak, Sarah, to blame that on them. Come on. Really? Come on. Oh, you know what? I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm not sure where, but I'll just mail it in for this playoff game, because I don't want to get a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, why not both? Why not win here and then get started
for
the Super Bowl ring? Come on. George in Detroit. George, you're on 97.1. George, what's up?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, I want to put this in there for what it's worth. Jeff Daniels, repeatedly, like rapid fire, just shoving it down our throats with the Bobby Lane song. Guys, I'm telling you, we prevailed all the way through the season up until he was on a national level singing that song, and then on a local level singing that song. He kept singing it, and it kept growing and growing until that day when we played the Commanders. Bobby Lane's curse, he poured it on strong this time. Let's stop singing the song. I don't want to hear the song anymore. I think that's a big jinx right there. My dad played for a while. My dad was Alex Karras. So I know the Lions very well, very well. My dad has always said the curse of Bobby. My dad said this verbatim, that the curse of Bobby Lane is true.
Yeah, but I wouldn't blame it on Jeff Daniels. But I will ask you this question, George. How many times have you seen Blazing Saddles?
Oh, my gosh. Too many.
Mongo too was many. A, your dad. Your dad was great.
my dad said, he said, you know, when they had me knock out the horse, you know, they trained the horse to fall. I'm like, yes. He went, you know, I thought that was like the, because my dad was a huge animal lover. So he was like, why did you guys want me to knock out this horse? It's kind of stupid. This is kind of ridiculous. So anyway, 40 years later, he said, you know, when I was saying, you know, how ridiculous that scene was, he went, do you know that scene went down? One of the most famous scenes in motion picture history.
Oh, the farting. Yeah, more than even the horse. Oh,
the farting in and of itself was just, yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Thanks, George.
Thanks, George. Come back
welcome,
anytime.
Guys.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day now.
didn't think we would go Blazing Saddles there, but I didn't think Alex Karras's kid would call.
Right, it's live radio.
Now I got to look up Wikipedia and make sure he had a son named George, but. I assume
well,
it's
it
really.
Now.
I know.
Let's get back to the phones. 248-539-9797. Greg and Royal Oak, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. AJ Brown's pretty unlikable. Sarah's call was pretty unlikable, too. I want to touch base really quick on just realistic expectation and set, like, it's probably a horrible analogy, but it's what popped in my head. Say you've got a guy who's never, ever gone on a date in his life, and he's 50 years old. And all of a sudden, after 50 years of asking people out, he gets a date. And he kisses the girl the first time. Like, wow, okay, cool. But things don't go well. He's done with that girl. Does he really believe the next time he takes the girl out on a date, he's going to hit a home run? What I'm trying to say is after 50 years of not doing it, do all these fans, did they have honest expectations that the Lions were going to win the Super Bowl this year?
Well,
granted,
we all thought it. Greg, as far as your analogy, just ask Wojo the next time he's on.
Oh! I was gonna ask you if you had, I remember your old Michael St. Juan character I was going to use in that analogy, but I let that go.
Michael St. Juan?
I'm just kidding. I once said, I don't know how the topic came up, but changing names. I said I wouldn't change my name, but if I did something, I'd put a period after the T in my last name and I'd be Saint Juan.
That's pretty good. But he doesn't believe people had legitimate Super Bowl expectations for this football team?
I know.
Was he under a rock? Or he thinks we're all stupid?
Well, I mean,
we're naive. To use his analogy, I mean, like we really thought we were going to score.
No, to be fair, there were people, I was one of them, that after the Buffalo game when McNeil, Montgomery, and Carlton Davis all got hurt, I said they cannot win the Super Bowl with this defense. And
I will point out, when the playoffs started, they were the betting favorite.
Oh, I understand.
They were a 15-win football team. If you didn't think they were the favorite, fine. If you don't think they had any right to expect Super Bowl.
No, you have to expect
I mean, that's, come on, guy.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy. 248-539-9797. We'll get some of your thoughts on where you're at with the Lions. A couple weeks removed. Mm-hmm. Stoney's in. Still processing it. I'm sure you guys are, too. Dominic in Macomb Township. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
So, to your point, the Lions were definitely Super Bowl contender, but, like, as you said, with that defense, it just wasn't going to happen as much as we wanted to. Not with that defense. And that last game, you know, I was disappointed, but wasn't as heartbreaking as the NFC Championship last year.
I agree with you.
Because it's just like last year we were so close, lost by 3. That was heartbreaking. This time we lose by 2-3 scores, 4 scores, and it's like, can't have 4 turnovers in the playoffs and expect to win a game. It's not going to happen.
It's not even we lost by 3. It was the fact that you were up 17 at the half.
Yeah. That was worse. It is just like decision making. Like, a lot of people blame the defense, and yeah, defense didn't make stops. But if we play lights out, no turnovers, we score almost every drive, and we outscore them.
Yes. Yeah, if they play the offense that they had played all season long, they win that game at Ford Field, and we live to fight another day. Mm-hmm. And
exactly, and you know, I just think that no one, if the Lions are a complete sequence team, no one can beat us. I truly believe that a perfect Lions team playing, you can't beat us, because when they're in sync, when they're hot, they go on all cylinders.
Well, and we had watched that all year, and we had been led to believe that, right? I mean, it's not that they hadn't dealt with adversity all season. They did, and they went 15-2 in the regular season. By the way, Alex Karras, 5 kids. One of them is named George.
Okay.
So, story checks out.
Good.